start again, 19. But I suppose you feel this is necessary so that you who are always right will become known and recognized. When you come together to eat, it isn't the Lord's Supper you are eating, but your own. For I am told that everyone hastily gobbles all the food he can without waiting to share with the others, so that one doesn't get enough and goes hungry while another has too much to drink and gets drunk. What? Is this really true? Can't you do your eating and drinking at home to avoid disgracing the church and shaming those who are poor and cannot bring food? What am I supposed to say about these things? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly do not. But this is what the Lord himself has said about his table. And I have passed it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed him, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This is the cup. This cup is a new agreement between God and you and has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again. So if anyone eats this bread and drinks from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he is guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if he eats the bread and drinks from the cup unworthily, not thinking about the body of Christ and what it means, he is eating and drinking God's judgment upon himself, for he is trifling with the death of Christ. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if you carefully examine yourselves before eating, you will not need to be judged or punished. Yet, when you are judged and punished by the Lord, it is so that we will not be condemned with the rest of the world. So, dear brothers, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, the communion service, wait for each other. If anyone is really hungry, he should eat at home so that you won't bring punishment upon yourself when you meet together. And then it says, I'll talk about other matters when I arrive. So in the Bible, communion is defined as the sharing or exchange of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially on a mental or spiritual level. So I've been thinking for a while about this communion thing. And sometimes God gives me something to listen to that prompts a thought and then becomes a sermon, or maybe it's a song, sometimes a Bible verse. But this time God said, "What do you think about communion?" Well, I thought it was a time of meeting with the Holy Spirit and remembering Jesus' sacrifice and a time of respect. That's about it, isn't it? I remember the first time I took communion, I was 11 or 12, and it was my confirmation. And it was at St. Matthew's Anglican Church at South Grafton, and I wanted to do this confirmation thing because my friends were doing it. And because you got to wear a nice white dress and dress up. That was pretty cool. Oh, yeah, and commit to Christ and have Holy Communion for the first time. Yeah. So we all kneeled in a line along a railing at the front of the church, and the minister moved down the line, popping a wafer on everyone's tongue. So the wafer was a bit funky, kind of tasteless, and it fizzed on your tongue. And then the minister took a silver goblet or a chalice and had a white serviette. I was watching you too. That's a story for later. So he took the chalice and a white cloth serviette, and again he went down the line and everyone took a sip and he wiped it and passed it on. Now, my reaction to the wine, as you could expect as a child, was a bit like, And I was hoping they'd give us seconds of the wafer so you get the wine taste out of your mouth. But anyway, so there wasn't much thought of respect or remembering at that time. And so Passover. Jesus sent a couple of the disciples off with instructions to find a man with a water pot, follow him to a house, and then ask him to show you the room he has for us, and then you prepare the Passover meal for us. Remember, Passover was a celebration. It was a remembering time of the Exodus from Egypt when Moses gave Pharaoh his last warning from God, "Let my people go." Moses then gathered the elders from the Jewish community and gave them instructions on how they were to prepare and eat their last meal as slaves. Then Moses told them how to use the blood from the lamb to protect their house from the death that was coming by placing the blood of the lamb on the door frame. Their submission to God's instruction, their faith in Lord God's promise. So the blood of the lamb protected them from death. Sounds familiar. The Bible says Jesus and the disciples were reclining at the table. Now that could have been the Roman influence because they had like low tables and they had benches with cushions and rugs and they sort of slothed around a bit. But then that could be like us because when we get together to celebrate with family and friends, we like to chill and eat and drink. And I think this sharing of food and drink, when you think about it, it's quite an intimate thing. So who you choose to share it with is pretty special. Jesus said, after he blessed the bread, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He didn't say, like Granddad might say, "I just want you kids to remember how I sacrificed for you. I was up at the crack of dawn, no breakfast for me, out to work, sweat all day just to put food on the table and pay the bills, come back at dusk, eat stale bread and dripping, and to bed to get up early and start again." Jesus didn't say that. All Jesus said was, "The bread is my body, broken for us." He didn't say, "See how I suffered for you? See how I was betrayed for you? I was beaten and scourged." And for anybody who saw that movie, The Passion of the Christ, that scene with the whip, and that whip had multiple strands of leather, and it was interwoven with broken pottery and shards of metal, tearing out chunks of skin with every strike. Then Jesus was crucified for you, for me, for us. Can you remember during the lockdown just recently in Victoria, there were people who were protesting supposedly for the building industry, and they were at that war memorial?
Yep.
And how they disrespected and desecrated that memorial, that place where we remember the people who went before us and died to keep us safe from the enemy in times of war. And how disgusted were we at their lack of respect? Keep that thought. The Bible says, after dinner, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he said to his friends, "Take this cup and remember my blood, sealing the new covenant with God." And in verse 23, it says, "For this is what the Lord himself has said about his table. I have passed it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed him, the Lord Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This is the new agreement between you and God that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he died for you. Do this until he comes.'" That's pretty important instruction. Okay, so Jesus said, "This is my body." When they took the bread, "This is my body." So no longer just bread. No longer just part of a meal. But part of the strength and the power of Jesus Christ. There is power in the body of Christ. Power to overcome. Overcome the weakness and sickness and death that he spoke about. Also with the wine. This is the agreement sealed in my blood, said Jesus. The blood that washes you clean from sin. And Jesus invites us to come to his table and do this. To meet with him in this intimate place. To take that representation of his body, his strength and his power, and that remembering the agreement with God that we're washed clean by the blood, protected by the blood, we walk in victory because of the blood. And this isn't just something that we can do only once a week when we come to church. You can do this as often as you like. Remember me every time you do it. As often as you like. You're invited to his table as often as you like, wherever you are. You don't even need bread and wine. We use juice. You can use whatever you have. It's a representation. But remember the warning that Paul gave to the Corinthians. In verse 27, he says, examine yourselves before taking the bread and the wine. Now, you know, Satan is the master of distraction. And whatever he can do to distract you from your focus on Christ, especially when it's an intimate meeting of power and forgiveness. And we stand, or these days we sit in our circle, waiting for our turn. We look at how funny these little kids are as they're taking around the bread and the juice. Or how chatty are those two on the other side of the room? Or that rotten fly, if it lands in my juice. Anything that will distract you from that intimate meeting place. And that reminded me of David at communion. He stands with his eyes closed, concentrating. Well, I think that's what he's doing. And sometimes the kids even have to give him a bit of a tap to get him to take the bread. And Mick does it too. Mick stands with his eyes closed, waiting on the Lord. Or he could be asleep, but he's Mick. This is no longer bread. This is now, in this intimate meeting place, the body of Christ. And it says in Isaiah 53, by his stripes you are healed. By his stripes you are healed. With every lash that Jesus took, Jesus loved you more. With every lash, he loved you more. God wants you to be whole and healthy. Meet him in this intimate place. Ignore the distractions. Take the bread, his body, and be healed by your faith, by your surrender, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the unmeasurable love of Christ. We are invited to his table to meet with him there. That's it. That's all I've got to say. So I think now would be a good time to do communion.